Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Well, I just really felt like that last song was a prophetic song. That really breaking every chain. But the part where it said there's an army rising up that's coming forth. And God is breaking chains and he's raising an army. There's a lot of people shackled out there that have chains and they need to be broken. And as I look across, we have a lot of gray hairs in this church. I mean, tonight. And I know those gray hairs, I know those are our intercessors. Those are the ones that have walked this road. And I just really feel like that was a prophetic declaration over this body today that's going to break every chain. And that you're rising up to be a mighty army for this time. I'm excited to be in America. It's always a challenge for me coming to America. America goes on without me, and they have all these newfangled stuff I can't figure out. And I feel like a fool sometimes when I'm trying to do some things. I was just remembering in this parking lot out here about 10 years ago, somebody gave me the keys, but I didn't know on the keys they had little buttons, and that would lock and unlock your car. But I had never seen anything like it. So after church, I go to the car, and I unlock the car. But every time I unlock the car, I push a button that locks it. And I think, well, that's really stupid. And so I start this game where I would go like this, and then I try to get it. And I go like this, and I proceeded to break every nail on my hand. And I started, and one was even bleeding, trying to beat the button before it went down. And I finally, when I got it open, when I got to my sister's house, I said, you know, there's something really wrong with your car. I almost didn't get in it. And she says, well, what's the problem? And so I started telling her, and she's laughing hysterically. She said, Nancy, that you kept pressing the lock button on the key. I said, oh, I've never seen that before. And I find here in America, there's a lot of things you do that you never talk to anybody. You go to a gas station, you never talk to anybody. You do all by machine. You can go to the grocery store and check out and not even have somebody there. I avoided the self-checkout several visits. It just looked like a little bit too much for me. But the last visit, it was kind of late at night, and a manager was there, and he says, why don't you use the self-checkout? And I was a little bit embarrassed because I have an American accent, and I look American to say, I don't know how to do it. And he was a little bit humored by it. He said, I'll teach you. It's really not that difficult. So he's showing us how to do the self-checkout. Jay and I are learning. And he gets to like $48 and we're done. And he says, you know what? If you get to $50, then you get 10 cents off every gallon of gas here at Safeway. Well, my Aka husband, he loves saving money. He got so excited. He said, yeah, yeah. He runs and gets something. And he happened to have a Safeway card from years past. And so he says, next time you go to the gas station, you just use the Safeway card, and you'll get 10 cents off. Well, Ajay is thrilled. My husband's thrilled. So for a week, he says, let's get all the way down. And we planned where the gas station was. And we get to the gas station, and we're standing there. We got the credit card, and we got the Safeway card, and it's just getting worse and worse, but Ajay's determined. We're going to get our 10 cents off every gallon. So I finally, he says, go in and ask for help. So I stick my head in, and I said, we can't figure out how to use the Safeway card and get our discount. Do you think you can help us? And the woman was like, ugh. Her face said, you're such an idiot. Everybody knows that. So she comes out and she switched the cards. Switched the cards. And she shoves the card back into my hand. And she goes inside. And my husband looks at me and says, what did you do to make her mad? Don't you love husbands? I looked at him and I said, Chan Beng Kon Ba No, which means in Thai, I've become a hillbilly. I'm from the mountains. I don't know how to exist. So I look forward to this visit to find what is the newfangled thing that I'm going to discover, because when I go home, the Akka love when I have stories to tell them how much of a hillbilly I am here in Thailand. And they think it's wonderful that I've become so much like them and that I don't know how to exist in America anymore. So I'm very excited to be here. When my husband first started several months ago and says, "You really need to go to the States, honey," I hate coming by myself, one. And financial reasons, we can only afford one to come. And we're taking in 13 kids, we needed to find new sponsors. And before I used to argue with him, but now that our son, Zion, is studying at CCU, and I missed him, I haven't seen him for a year, my mother heart said, yes, yes, yes. But I want to hold out on my husband. I want him to think he owes me something, you know? And so I said, "Honey, what if they ask me to preach? You're the preacher. I'm just the storyteller." He said, "They won't ask you to preach, honey. Don't worry." So last week, we get an email from Pastor Jason. He says, "Will you preach on Wednesday?" So I go to Ajay, and I'm like, "Oh, honey, they want me to preach." And he says, "I'll get you organized." And so he did his best to get me organized. So you guys will have to see how well he did. But we're going to start out with a clip. It's just kind of an update of where we're at now. Could you do that clip, please?
Hi, my name is Ajay, and this is my wife, Nancy. We just want to say thank you, American Christian, for supporting and help us to be here and to do what we are doing here.
We deeply appreciate you taking the next few minutes to find out more about our ministry. Akka Outreach Foundation is a multifaceted ministry located in northern Thailand. We are committed to advancing the kingdom of God among the 2.5 million Akka located in China, Burma, Laos, Vietnam, and Thailand, Thailand being the only open country. Since the year 2000, when we began our ministry, much of our ministry then was focused on taking needy, hurt people and getting them into survival mode. But what a joy it's been over the years now to move from survival mode to an advancing kingdom, to see leaders being raised up, seeing orphans finish college. We are seeing the kingdom of God advance among the Akka.
Our ministry at Akka Outreach consists of four programs that are all interconnected. The first is our children's home called House of Joy. The second is our Bible training schools called Akka Bible Institute. The third is our church planning ministry called Akka Outreach Services. And the fourth is our missions outreach called Seven Borders.
One of our biggest areas of our ministry is with our children's home, where we bring in children from desperate situations who are neglected, abused, and at risk for human trafficking.
Our children's home, the House of Joy, is currently home to over 70 children from the ages 6 to 20. The Lord has given us a vision as a family to come and take the children in, not just giving them a shelter, but giving them a home and being a part of what God does in their lives.
And we are seeing God do amazing things here. One example is a girl who was rejected by her father, who is now a worship leader in our services.
Another story is of a boy who was rejected by his village and came to live here and grew up here. And as a result of the change in his life, that changed the life of his family and his entire village.
God is advancing his kingdom among the Akka through these children.
Akka Bible Institute started with a few young Akka men and women. Now it grows into hundreds of them. And that is excitement in the air, in the spirit. The highlight of each year is the graduation day. We have 30, 40 graduates that wear gowns, and their friends and relatives, the whole village came down to celebrate. They are taking pride to be the servants of God. They are not only doing it the sake of doing, but they have the passion, they have the knowledge of the Word of God to advance the kingdom of God among the Akka people.
As we have begun our church planning ministry, we've been very committed to see that our churches are self-governing, self-propagating, and self-sufficient. At first, this caused a lot of problems because the church was so used to funding coming from outside, so used to teaching coming from the outside, and learning to rise up as the bride of Christ and support their own pastors and give and govern their own churches and then began to share the gospel. What a joy. We've seen churches begin to plant other churches. We've seen leaders raising and mentoring other leaders. And to stand back and watch these men and women move out in their destiny and in their calling and advance the kingdom is an incredible joy.
As we've seen God's kingdom advancing among the Akha in northern Thailand, our efforts have expanded to include the Akha in all five nations that they live.
We call our missions outreach program Seven Borders because among those five countries, there are seven shared borders that connect the Akha of Southeast Asia. Akha Outreach Media is one of the main tools that we're using to reach the Akha with the gospel. We're finding that media is such a powerful tool and can reach so much farther than a single person can. It can be copied over and over again and can cross borders without a visa.
The second program in our Seven Borders ministry is our Bible translation project. Right now we have leaders from four different nations who are working together to create a Bible that is applicable and readable for the Akha in every nation in which they live. I've had the honor of being a part of this team in a support role for a number of years, and it's been wonderful to watch as these leaders take the Greek text and accurately translate it into Akha, and then take those Akha words and rearrange the sentences in such a way that it works in every one of the nations that it will be read in. Trying one way, then trying another way, until finally the sentence is read in such a way that the entire room goes silent, because we all know that we have just heard the inspired word of God.
With the exception of Thailand, all of these countries are closed to the spread of the gospel. However, through Akha Outreach Media, the Bible Translation Project, and the relationships that we're building in other countries, we continue to see the kingdom advancing among the Akha of Southeast Asia.
We praise God for all that He has done among the Akha and advancing His kingdom. We thank God for the shifts that have occurred, the shifts that are occurring. But every aspect of our ministry is expanding and is exploding. We need your involvement. We need your partnership to join us as we continue to equip and empower the Akha to advance the kingdom.
So we just want to say thank you for your faithful partnership with Akha Outreach Foundation.
Go to the PowerPoint. Okay, this is the outline that Ajay gave me so that I don't chase a lot of rabbits and I stay on. My message tonight is one, what you just saw is your fruit of standing with me for 23 years, for supporting us through our missions program here. We have many people who have supported our orphans here to rejoice in this partnership. To advance world missions that we've had, and to stir a greater hunger for an intimacy with the Trinity, that all of what we do flows out of our relationship with the Lord. And the more that we press in, the hungrier we become, the more time that we spend on our face before the Lord, the more our ministry expands. And to stir up that in you, that for you, for your missions here, to stir up that for more, to carry the presence of God into this world. The next slide, please. These were Jesus' last words here on earth, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This Jesus had appeared on and off with the disciples for 40 days. The disciples were having major shifts in their thinking. Prior to the resurrection, they thought that Jesus was going to come back and rise up Israel. They were going to get their freedom from Rome. And all of a sudden, they're realizing, no, this isn't going to happen. He's going back to the Father. And these are his last words. This is the last thing. He's passing on the baton to them. I don't know if you've ever been with anybody that right before they die, next to somebody right before they die, we all kind of strain to hear what are the last things they're going to say to their loved ones. What are they going to leave with us that we can hold on? I remember about 10 years ago, we were standing at the bedside of three of my children's father who was dying. Their mother had died of AIDS 2 years prior, and now their father was dying of AIDS, and we were saying goodbye. And I had the children promise their father that they would work hard in their studies and they would be obedient and that they would seek God with all their hearts. I promised the father that I would do all I could to raise these three. And the father encouraged them. He had become Christian when the kids came to the home, and he had spent some of his last days in and out at the hospital and with us. And he told them to hold on to the Lord. And over the years, I've had to bring those kids back to that. I'm doing my best to keep my end of the promise. You got to keep your end of the promise too. Come on, let's pull it in. And it would anchor them to move on. Those were truly their father's last words. But that's not so in this situation. Jesus knew he was going on. These were his last words before him. But he had a great promise. He was going to continue to speak to them. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What an amazing promise. And I can only imagine how the disciples felt. I find it amazing because, you know, the disciples had been watching Jesus. They'd watched him do miracles upon miracles upon miracles. They watched him move out in authority. I find it fascinating in Matthew 6 when they look at him and say, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't say, it was very interesting, they didn't say, Lord, teach us to do the miraculous. Teach us to do the supernatural. Teach us to preach. Teach us to teach. No. They knew, they saw something in Jesus. Jesus had an amazing relationship with the Father. The Holy Spirit connected him to the Father. And they knew everything Jesus did came from that Holy Spirit connection to the Father. And they're saying, we want to know that. If you're leaving us with that, we teach us to pray. And here he's promising them, you will receive the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus was fully human here on this earth. He had laid down his deity completely in heaven to come to this earth. And he was a perfect example of what a human being connected to the Father through the Holy Spirit can do. He's our example of what we can do. And he even said it himself in John. Can we go to the next slide, please? Very surely I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. I don't know about you. I haven't done greater things than Jesus yet. But here's a promise. And I think it's too often we read these promises in the Word, and we think, well, that's for the end times. That's for the millennium. And I feel the Lord saying, no, these promises are for today. I need you to take hold of these promises and begin to believe that you are going to do greater things than I did. And this is a promise that he's giving us, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me and keep my commandments, I will ask the Father, and I will give you another advocate to help you, another promise of the Spirit, and he, and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus came to an orphan planet to reveal the love of the Father. And here's a promise. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I want to be your Father. Jesus made a way, and he's given us this Holy Spirit to connect us to God so the presence of God reigns upon us and that we walk with the presence of God on us. This is what we're called to. This is what, not just me as a missionary, what we're all called to. When we enter a room, we should change the atmosphere of that room. We are called to be the salt and the light. The salt is put on the food to enhance the flavor of the food and bring it out. We should be that in other people's lives. We should be salt in other people's lives. When we're with people, we pull out the best in them. We help them find their destiny and pull them forth. We're supposed to be the light. You know, for years I would hear preachers preach, we're the light of the world. And they would say, we're supposed to go into the darkness and expose evil and sin. And that's right, but I want to suggest another one. Light attracts people who need refuge. And people come. Yeah, Matthew 28:18 says, go. Go into all the world, and we're supposed to go. But I believe we're coming into a time that as Christians, as we spend more and more time on our face before the Lord, allowing this sweet Holy Spirit, the treasure of heaven. I heard a speaker about a year ago, and I still haven't processed this. He said, do you realize that the Father and Jesus are very protective of the Holy Spirit, the treasure of heaven? And I was like, oh, have I treasured the Holy Spirit? And to think the Father and Jesus are protective of this incredible gift bestowed upon us, that we use it, that we treasure it. And as we treasure that the presence of God is on us and that we're a light and that our light begins to attract others, that people begin to come to us, they realize that we do have the answers. You know, as we begin to become transformed more into the image of God, transform people, transform families, transform communities, transform communities, transform cities, transform nations. And I really believe, I was just talking to Pastor Jason, and he was telling me his reasons for coming back here and what he had to leave behind in England and the sense of community, a community of people coming together, sharing life, rubbing the hard edges off of each other, showing all of our warts, but that we come together to be a greater light. I just heard a speaker last week said, do you realize there's no shadows in heaven? That the light of God is in every place, in every facet, that there is no shadows. And I thought, wow, we're supposed to bring your kingdom come to this earth and our communities, that we learn to love one another, share life with one another, that we share the light, that we carry the light, we carry the presence so much that there's no shadows, there's no places to hide, and that we begin to attract more and more people. The word that Pastor Jason got tonight of hopelessness, oh, it's rampant. And the prophecy's coming forth. It's going to get worse. And we need to build our communities. We need to strengthen our communities. We need to be that place of refuge that people can come to. Wow, I'm totally lost. I have no idea where I'm at. Okay. So, the promise to not leave us as orphans is what Jesus is doing in Acts 1. He's saying, it's your turn. He's passing the baton on. You receive the Holy Spirit, and you be my witness, and you start in your Jerusalem. And for our ministry, that's where we started. We started in our Jerusalem. Can we do the next slide? We started, and we had to go. We had to go to the Akka. We had to go to where they were at. They were deep in witchcraft. They were deep in sin. They were deep in deception. And they had a reputation in Thailand as the lowest of the lowest, but the most hard-necked tribe around. They were the least evangelized out of all of the other tribes. At that time, we didn't have 1% Christianity. Still in Thailand today as a whole, we don't even have 1% Christianity. That's even counting the Catholics. We don't make 1% yet. But among the tribal groups, the tribals have received Jesus more than the Thais themselves. But we didn't even have 1%, very small. And we saw very little transformation among them. Next slide. But today, we're seeing a hunger. We're seeing a hunger for the Lord. We're seeing them pursue the Lord and run after the Lord. We're seeing our leaders rise up and do things that I'm just amazed. I'm amazed. I mean, situations will happen in the church, and our elders rise up, and they deal with the situation according to Scripture and deal with it right, and they can't read and write. It's because of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit in them, and they're just growing. They're just expanding. Next slide, please. The Akka of Thailand today is 30% Christian. We stand in awe. We stand in awe. There's times that we're overwhelmed at the amount of work that sets before us. And like I said, there's times you think, oh, I've got to teach them. And we're seeing the move of the Holy Spirit. It's happening faster than we can keep up with. We had a meeting. We hadn't even taught on slain in the Spirit. Bang, 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 bang. They were just going down over the roof. Several of our pastors, bang, went down, started speaking in tongues. We hadn't even taught them about tongues yet. And then I started realizing, you know what? The Holy Spirit's going before us. I'm just along for the ride. Huh? And the more time I spend on my face before the Lord, the faster it goes, because the Holy Spirit's doing it, and it's amazing. Next slide. We started in our Jerusalem, and our Jerusalem was House of Joy. In House of Joy, we have 78 orphans right now. 8 of those are in university at the time, and this is Bhuti. Bhuti is our first graduate from university, and she came back and is working at our foundation. She's amazing with our children. Our children adore, but she's our major one on our Bible translation team. Just last week, we had a linguist in from Virginia. He comes in twice a year for 2 weeks intense time. And Ajay was talking to him, and I was listening to it, and he says, Dr. Ross, did you see Bhuti in the meeting today? And Dr. Ross said, yeah. And Ajay said, she's passed me up. She's better than I am. It's amazing what she's doing. And we're just thrilled that the children that we're raising up are making a difference. Not all of them succeed. Oh, we have our ones that crash and burn. And it's hard on a mama's heart to see the ones that crash and burn. But we do have our successes as well. Next slide. I want you to meet Lisu. Lisu arrived 2 years ago. Lisu is probably, he's the one in the wheelbarrow. It's one of our biggest challenge. This little boy, he is a fighter. Our kids had gone on a Christmas outreach into the village, and they came home and they said, there's a little boy in this village that's just a tear. But his dad has already died, and his mother is a drug addict. She doesn't take care of him. We got to do something for this kid. And my high school kids filled out the application for him to come. And when he came, he loves everybody, but he just gets close enough, and then if he feels like you're going to reject him, he'll bite you and kick you and then run. He's just a huge challenge. And so one day, we're talking, and he said something about his dad. And I said, "Lisa, I'm trying to remember, how did your dad die?" And he says to me, "Oh, he looked at me, and he was so disappointed because I was such a horrible child. He died." And I said, "Lisa, who told you that?" He said, "My mom." I said, "Honey, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That is not true." And I remember about, Lisa actually arrived when I was in the States last time. And I remember Zion even telling me, "Wait till you meet this kid, Mom." So when I got back, I would just, you know, the first thing I said to the staff is, okay, he doesn't have to sit still in meetings, but he has to sit still for prayers. He has to honor prayers. And if we can just get him to close his eyes and just bow his head for prayers, we'll be doing well. And but one day I'm in our house and I'm looking out and I can see that there's something going down between Lisa and one of our Bible students. And the Bible student's starting to restrain him because he's trying to kick her and bite her and stuff. And she doesn't have him in a very good restraint. She's starting to hurt him, he's starting to hurt her. And so I was kind of seeing if it was going to iron itself out. And so finally I went out and I took him. And I just went down to the ground, put my big old fat leg over that little five-year-old. He couldn't move at all. And he was mad. He was mad. But I had his arms twisted, and I had his head here, and he kept trying to bite me. But when he would turn his head the other way, I would whisper, which made him have to calm down to hear me. I said, "Honey, I'll let you go as soon as you calm down." And I said it about four times. I said, "Honey, I'm not going to reject you. I will let you go as soon as you calm down." And soon he buried his head in my neck and he started to scream deep from in his belly, "Amma, Amma, Amma," which means mother, mother, mother. The wound of never being loved by a mother. And we just sat there for 20 minutes. God is healing Lisa. He actually sits through service now. And he hasn't bitten anybody for about a year. So we feel like we're making advancement. The next one. This is Abba. Abba is our youngest at this point in time, until we take in new ones in May. Abba came at 4, and Abba is the complete opposite from Lisa. I don't know how his mother is mentally unstable. His father is an alcoholic, drug addict. I don't think he really bonded. He bonded with his older sister, I think. But tender, sweet, sweet, sweet boy. He just climbs up in your lap, and he holds you, and he just gives love. Everybody on the compound loves Abba. And so one day, there's 5 boys in my house, and they're all wanting to tell me their stories. I know their stories, but they love telling their stories. And they're telling it with great gusto. "Oh, you think your life's been bad? Listen to mine," sort of thing. And Abba's the youngest, and so he's fighting to get his story in. And finally, Abba says, yeah, "My dad's drunk every single day. And before my mom ran away, he would hit her till she bled. And he tells me he's not drinking now, but I know he goes behind the door, shuts the door, and he drinks behind the door." And it's just normal. As he's telling me this, and then his eyes light up, and he says, "But you know what? My sponsor came to visit me, and my sponsor loves me more than anybody else in the whole world." And then he really went an extreme. He said, "My sponsor loves me even more than Jesus," which caused complete pandemonium among the rest of the boys because that's theologically incorrect. But I want to show you Abba's sponsor. Abba's sponsor is from Nigeria, and he came for a visit, and Abba fell in love with his sponsor, and his sponsor fell in love with him, and it just means the world to Abba. Next slide, please. This year for our graduating class, we had 30 graduates from 3 different programs. Graduation day is one of our favorite days. Next year, we're going to have 70 graduates. I want you to meet one of the graduates. Next slide. This is Aja. Aja was brought to us by a cousin. About 6 months before Aja came to us, he was out hunting on the border. And he had a gun, and he came upon a tree, and in the tree was a hand grenade, but he didn't know it was a hand grenade. And he took the butt of the gun, and he was hitting the hand grenade, which exploded the butt of the gun. Thank you. He lost his eye, his tooth, and he lost his hand. He only has an arm to hear. But his brother had died of an accident, a freak accident, about 4 months earlier. So the village freaked out and said, the spirits are out to get you. We don't want you in the village. You're going to bring bad things upon us. You need to leave. But his cousin had graduated from our Bible college. So his cousin got him and brought him to us. So he wasn't even Christian. And she says, can he go to Bible school? Just totally rejected and just broken. And just still learning to function in life without a hand. And so he started Bible school and just took off. He took off with the Lord and his testimony. He travels the villages and says, I'd rather not have an eye and a hand and know Jesus than to have an eye and a hand and not know Jesus. And the children loved him, which he at first he was afraid because everybody was afraid to be around him in the village. But when he came, the children just swarmed him. And he takes duct tape and he tapes his stump. And he plays the guitar on his stump. Last year, he interned in Elephant Mountain, one of our villages, and one of our coffee owners bought him a glass eye. And he was so excited because it was just an empty socket. So you can't really see it in this picture, but now he has a glass eye, and he's very excited about that. And he just now, this the beginning of this month, came on staff and will be helping with our children. And just to see such a broken life, to now being an effective servant for the Lord, tapping into his destiny. Next slide. The one with the teal shirt on up here and in front of her husband, Soyo, they actually came to us about 8 years ago. They did drugs up until the day they arrived. And they came to go to Bible school, and they had two children, and the children were tares. And these two had the hardest life. And getting this family put together, every time he got mad, he just would hit her, you know? And we were really working on, you know, putting their marriage back together. There was two times Apial just took off. She was going to leave, and she wasn't going to come back. Apial herself, when she was 8 years old, her and her brother, who was sick, they got really sick. They were in the hospital. And when they were in the hospital, their mother said to them, I'm going to go buy some food. I'll be right back. She never came back. They've never seen their mother till today. Praise God, somebody from their village came to the hospital that took them home and gave them to their grandmother, who was already raising 10 kids. And so she was deeply rejected. So one of the times when Apia left, she called me, and she says to me, you raised my children. And I was mad. I said, no way. You get back here. You get on the next bus and get back here. I will not let you do to your children what your mother did to you. We're finishing the cycle now. You get on the next bus or I'm going to be looking for you. She came back. But there was this one night. They got in a fight. They hadn't hit for a long time. And Soyo hit her really well. So Ajay's dealing with Soyo. I'm dealing with Apia. And I'm trying to say to her, Apia, you know, when your husband has a problem with anger and he's hit before, you shouldn't stick your jaw out and say, you want to hit me? It's not a good idea. But I'm ministering to her, and Ajay comes in the room. And for about 2 years, I had been talking to Ajay. I said, honey, you are moving out with the spirit of a father. And I see you hugging the boys, but you won't hug the girls, and the girls need that love of the father from you. And you're getting grayer. So I think you can start getting away with it. Could you hug the girls? And he's like, Nancy, the culture doesn't allow for it. I can't. So when Ajay walked in the room, the Holy Spirit just dropped something in my spirit. And I said to Ajay in English, I said, honey, I'm going to have Apial stand up, and I'm going to take her in my arms, and then you take both of us in your arms, and you minister the love of the Father to her. And without any hesitation, Ajay just was there. And we took her in our arms, And he kissed her forehead, and she just wept and wept and wept as we prayed over her. And the Lord started giving us a key here. So we just stumbled upon it. About 2 weeks later, it was our anniversary, and we were headed down to Pattaya. Pattaya is in the south of Thailand, and it's considered the Sodom and Gomorrah of Thailand. The prostitutes just line the streets. My son Zion, when we've been down there before, has been grabbed as a teenager from prostitutes. He said, I don't ever want to come back to this city again. But we were going down with YWAM. YWAM had a ministry called Rahab Ministries down there. And they took girls out of prostitution, and they would retrain them, and they had a coffee shop, and they did all kinds of baked goods, and they would retrain them. But then they would do intense Bible studies with these ladies. And Ajay and I would go down and do the Father Heart of God and teach and work with these prostitutes. Well, we weren't even thinking about this gift that the Lord had showed us with Appeal. Well, we got down there with these prostitutes, and we were doing generational curses and deliverance and working on forgiveness. And then we started working on the Father Heart of God. And we started taking these ex-prostitutes into our arms. And I would hold them, and then Ajay would hold both of us and minister the love of God to them. I have never, ever felt just what it's like to be totally abandoned to the Lord and know it's not you, that the love of God is just flowing. It's just flowing through you. You know, ladies, it's the best anniversary gift I've ever had, to minister with my husband, in my husband's arms, just loving on these broken, broken women. I mean, for years, I mean, I married an Asian. Asians are not affectionate. Thank you. I don't use enough English. Affectionate. And they won't show any public affection, and they don't show a lot of emotion. And I come from an Italian background. And I kept saying to the Lord, you know, when I first got married, I thought, oh, Lord, you know. And here, as we continued to fall on our face before the Lord and just became vessels of his extravagant love, I get to minister with my husband at a level I never dreamed of. This is what ministry is. It's not a sacrifice. People say, oh, poor you, you go to Thailand and you sacrifice all these things. Don't, it's not. It's a privilege. You guys write the checks, but I get to touch it. I got the better end of the deal. Okay, next slide. As we began to move out, we moved out into our Judea and our Samaria. This is Ruth. We gave her this name. It's not her real name. She's from China. In about 1996, we heard about Ruth. She was an Akka in the southern part of China who had become Christian. And we hadn't heard of any Christians among the Akka in China. And so, and she was a nurse, and we heard that she wanted to go to Bible school. So we had one of the evangelists take a motorcycle up through Burma into southern China and smuggle her down. And at that point in time, our Bible school was on the Burmese Thailand border, and she went to Bible school. Ruth weighs probably about 80 pounds. She went back to China. She started 3 underground churches, and she's led hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of Akka to the Lord. She's a major part of our translation team. She comes in twice a year to represent the Akka from China to work on our translation. But she is amazing. You know, she gets called in by the police to tell her to slow down, to interrogate her. And they start in on her. And 3 times when they're done, they've taken her out to lunch. She has such a sweet spirit on them. She just walks with the presence of the Lord and just such a delight. She turns the whole situation and they take her out to lunch. But man, she was just in recently and we were seeing healings. But what she was ministering, she was there for our women's conference. And one of our staff, Buzi, we struggle a lot with the witches in the villages. The witch doctors aren't as bad, but the witches are your mediators. So they become possessed, and they often fall on the ground, and they have voices from Satan. So when our witches become Christian, cleaning them up takes a long time. And they can be really disruptive in meetings, because they'll be sitting in a meeting, and you start praising, you start doing things, they start twitching and throwing themselves down, and sometimes fall on the ground. And we had several witches that were just causing a lot of problems, and so my staff says, I want all the witches to come forward. And so here comes Ruth. And so Ruth starts dealing with these, and I don't know if you see it in this picture down here. When she's talking to that spirit, she says, look at me. And you can see their eyes are darting everywhere. No, you look at me. I've had it with you. This is your day. You're leaving. And then the next minute, she would cast them out, and the next minute, she'd be crying with the woman. To see the Holy Spirit move on these people, to find their destiny, to find their giftings, and move forward. Wow. So we have moved out of our Jerusalem into our Judea and Samaria, but we still have to the ends of the earth. The final slide. We still have the generations coming up. And we're not done. There's still so much more to take, not only among the Akka in Southeast Asia, but here in Arvada. I'm extremely grateful for Faith Bible Chapel, for standing behind us for 23 years in so many ways and making it possible. I don't know if I should say this, but Jenny, the bookkeeper here at Faith, she does all of our books. I mean, this is a major headache for other ministries. When you live on the other side of the world and you have to get somebody to orchestrate your books, and Jenny always tells everybody, oh, it's not a lot of work. She just kind of puts it in with the church, and they don't charge us anything. That's a huge blessing, huge blessing. It frees us up to do what we need to do in Thailand, because Jenny's taking care of it, but Faith Bible Chapel's paying her salary. Not only, there's just all these little things that Faith Bible Chapel has done for us. So I want you to rejoice as I share these stories. They're your stories too. Your stories, you made it happen. But I also want you to have a hunger for more. Oh, there's so much more. We've only began to taste. People need to visually see, tangibly see the presence of God upon us. You want to do the altar call? Okay. Just ask that we quiet our hearts before the Lord now. Oh, precious, precious, precious Lord. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you that you did not leave us as orphans. That you revealed the extravagant love of the Father. And you've given us this treasure, the treasure of heaven, the Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for the times that we have taken advantage of that treasure, that we haven't pressed in enough to be ambassadors, to be your light, to be your salt. Tonight we declare we want more. We want more. More of your presence. More Holy Spirit. Greater revelation. That we can set aside our own dramas, our own problems, our own failures, just to begin to host your presence, just to become a vessel of your light and your love. Oh, Lord, I just ask that as they leave tonight, that your Holy Spirit would just tug on their heart, just tug on their heart, that their last thoughts as they sleep tonight would be, I want more, I want more. I want to change the atmosphere of a room. I want to be your ambassador. Their first thought tomorrow morning as they get out of bed, that they'll fall to their knees and say, oh Lord, I want more. More, please. For you. For your kingdom. He's looking for warriors. He's looking for people that are going to grab a hold of their destinies, grab a hold of his promises, and press in, and press in, and press in. He doesn't set those promises out just to taunt us, but to pull us closer to him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I just ask that you would release your Holy Spirit tonight. Continue to minister to them as they go home. Continue to bring this message again and again on the radio as they're reading the Bible, as they're going to church, as they're talking to other people. Just a stirring up for more, because you're raising up an army. You're raising up an army that's going to go forth and break every chain. Break every chain, break their own personal chains in their life, but begin to break the chains in other people's life. Help the others break their chains as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.